Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. What government are we talking about? Well, if we read Revelation, the end of Revelation, and the end of this book here, the end of Isaiah, we find out that there is coming a kingdom that's going to be ruled and reigned by Christ, okay, by Jesus. Well, hey, welcome here to the Tack Room. In the coming weeks and months, this is going to be upgraded. There's a lot to do in this room, but I've decided that this is no longer going to be just storage for junk, but this is going to be a new space for the podcast and doing that kind of thing. So it's been a little while since we actually did a podcast. I know that I've been able to get a daily verse put up, and that's a motivator for me. I read the Bible daily, but having that focus has been something that's been really good for me. So, in case you're not already, please check that out. We put it on YouTube, and we also put it on Instagram, and I think it makes it over to Facebook somehow. I don't know, technology. We're going to keep this one short for you, but I wanted to talk to you about the season that we're in right now. I mean, it would be kind of unfair of me not to talk about the Christmas season, because that's where we're coming up to. And when I say season, I guess it's only a week away now, less than a week. And so what we want to do, what I want to do, is just remind you of the whole reason that we're here. And now I got a whiny dog outside the door. That's great. So anyway, in order to do this, I want to turn to a chapter in Isaiah, chapter 9. It's a very well-known verse. It's one that we always hear about around this season. And there's a reason for it. This is prophetic. It's pointing to the coming Messiah. And it says in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God." And that's speaking of things that, for us, we're looking at it as history. He goes on, "Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government," verse 7, "and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So as we look back, there are so many prophecies pointing to the coming Messiah, pointing to Christ coming in the flesh. But this here is one in particular that I love to look at, because it describes so many characteristics of this Messiah. And we'll break those down just a little bit before we get done here, but we are going to keep it short. But before I actually dive into this, take off my hat, like Paul says to do when I pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving me the ability to come out here and share your word, Lord. And Father, if there's something that you want to say, as I'm sure there is to the listener, please keep me out of your way. But let your Holy Spirit speak through me. Lord, make me a conduit for you today, and help me to humble myself so that your word can be heard by the listener. Lord, we thank you. Please bless this time together. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm going to put my hat back on. It's cold out here. So, with that being said, let's kind of break this down here just a little bit. "For unto us a child is born." And I like that "child" is capitalized here, because it really is. It's God in the flesh. And that's who we're looking for. We are looking for God in flesh. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder." What government are we talking about? Well, if we read Revelation, the end of Revelation, and the end of this book here, the end of Isaiah, we find out that there is coming a kingdom that's going to be ruled and reigned by Christ, okay, by Jesus. So this is partially pointing to future events. Okay, he came and he destroyed the kingdom of darkness, and he took the keys to hell and to Hades. And Jesus has power over all of that now. And we wait for his glorious second coming. In the first coming, he came as a humble servant, as the sacrifice for our sin. In his second coming, he's coming as a conquering king, as a warrior, and we're coming with him. And that is going to establish his kingdom and his government. Okay, it's going to be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Now, the original language here did not have commas. So in the English, we've kind of put them where we wanted them to be. And Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Now, it might be Wonderful Counselor. It might be Wonderful, comma, Counselor. It doesn't really matter, does it? He's wonderful, and he's Counselor. And I have turned to this verse, and I think I've talked about this on here before, but I've turned to this verse several times because with law enforcement, there comes a whole heap of critical incidents. In fact, the number that I heard most recently was that the average citizen goes through 2 to 3 critical incidents in their lifetime. And those can be pretty gnarly, right? But the average law enforcement officer faces somewhere around 800. And as I went through the weeks since I heard that, which has only been a few weeks ago, as I've gone through the weeks since then, I have dealt with a couple of critical incidents. So it doesn't surprise me that that's the case. But what I'm saying here, what I'm getting at is I need a counselor. And so I turn to Christ because it says right here, Wonderful Counselor. And I even cried out to him. I said, Lord, this says that you are a counselor and I am in need of counsel. So counsel me. Please, Lord, counsel me. And God is good. God is faithful and he always does. So Mighty God, it says. For those who don't believe that Jesus is God, for those who are part of a different belief system, such as Jehovah's Witness or maybe a Mormon, that right there says that he is Mighty God. And it says Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is interesting to me because it says that he is Son, but it also says Everlasting Father. So that one is very interesting to me. But when I pray, I can pray to the Father, and I know that my prayer is being heard. And Prince of Peace. Oh, man. Someday when Christ comes back, things will be at peace. We're not living in the millennial kingdom. Despite what some people would say, that's just not the case. We are not living in the millennial kingdom right now. But that day's coming. Someday soon, hopefully soon, I think it's going to be soon, we're going to be out of here in the rapture. And then after a handful of years, 7 to be exact, we're going to come back with Christ and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And then there's going to be peace. But you know, even now you can have peace. The word also says that your mind will be at perfect peace you will be at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And I think about that a lot. I even talked about that last night with my kid, that if you want to have peace, I use this to go to sleep at night sometimes. My mind is racing. There's anxieties and worries and things that are unbiblical, right? We're not supposed to worry, but we do. And so as I'm drawn near to bedtime or as I'm laying in bed, sometimes I will purposely think about Christ, purposely think about the Lord. Maybe I'll meditate on a scripture. Maybe I'll go through that scripture in my mind over and over again. And that's kind of a way for me to put my mind on the Lord so that it will be a perfect peace. And without fail, that helps me to rest. It puts me at peace. And it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Oh, Lord, how I look forward to this part. How I look forward to this part. Because, you know what, as a government worker, I can tell you for sure, there is no peace right now. There's very little peace. Okay, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want increased government, especially under the current government that we have. But if Christ is ruling and reigning, then of the increase of his government, oh yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. I just got done reading in 1 Kings when Solomon was anointed king, that he said, God told Solomon, he said, I'm going to keep my promise that I made to David, your father, that he will always have someone on the throne. And that is pointing to Jesus Christ. In fact, we can look in the New Testament. I think it's in Luke, especially. I think Matthew and Luke, I could be mistaken on that, but I think in Matthew and Luke, we get genealogy of Jesus Christ, and it shows that he indeed is the line from the line of David, even in the flesh. But regardless, Christ is the one that's being spoken of that's going to be on the throne forever, and that promise has been kept. Christ is on the throne, and he will be on the physical throne here on earth when he comes back in the flesh. To order it and establish it with judgment and justice. Let's camp out here for just a second. If you're listening to this and you're in law enforcement, then you know quite well the justice system is flawed. Why is it flawed? Well, because it's run by flawed human beings. We are all flawed. We all fall short of the glory of God, the Bible says. And I, for one, I long for the day when there is actual justice and judgment. And you might be saying, well, that kind of freaks me out because I've done some pretty terrible things. And I can tell you this with all confidence, so have I. But that doesn't mean that you are going to be condemned for that. See, as believers, our punishment was already paid. So we don't have to go and stand before the judge and be sentenced. See, Christ took our sentencing for us, and he died on the cross. That was where we should have been. We should have been on the cross. We should have died a horrible death and gone to hell for the sins that we have committed. The sin crimes, if you will, that we have committed. But Jesus did that for us. He took that penalty for us. So we don't have to do that. But when he comes back, see, there are those who have rejected him, unfortunately. And I hope and pray that you and I are witnessing to as many people as possible, because the price that Christ paid on the cross is enough to cover you and me and them and anybody else. But a gift is not a gift unless it's accepted, right? I can say, oh yeah, he gave me that truck. Okay, where's the truck? Oh, it's still at the dealership. So it's not really mine, is it? It's not mine unless I accept it. So if somebody gives you a truck, by the way, I don't want a free truck. I'm just using an illustration here. If somebody gives you that gift and you don't pick it up and drive it, it's not really yours. So Christ died for everyone. The Bible says that it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So if you know somebody that knows who Christ is but has not accepted that free gift of life, be praying for him. I'll be praying for him too. Send us your prayer requests. Okay, moving along. Judgment and justice. Oh, how we long for that. From that time forward, even forever. From that time forward, even forever. See, Christ died so that justice was done and that judgment was poured out on him, and it's not temporary. Okay, it's not, yep, Jesus died, I am saved, and now I have to do A, B, C, D, and E. No, no, no. See, we don't live by works. The law doesn't work. It was given to show that none of us can achieve eternal life. None of us can achieve righteousness on our own. That's why Christ died for us. He knows and he knew that none of us could do that on our own. So why would he come and die for us and then say, okay, now you have to continue to do it. You need to do these works. You need to obey the law. Here's what it does. The goodness of Christ does this. That sacrifice and the price that was paid on the cross, when I realize and begin to understand the incredible price that was paid for me, it makes me want to do good things. It puts a desire in me to do what is right in God's eyes. That's what that does. So it's not by works, but I'll show my faith by my works, James says. See, when Christ died, He fulfilled the law, it says. So that's not something that we have to continue to obey. But like I said, when we see the incredible price that was paid, it makes us want to do good. It makes us want to do what is right in God's eyes because we've been so blessed by him. And that's an incredible thing. Huge difference between that and trying to earn your way into heaven. Okay. And finally, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. What zeal are we talking about here? Did you know that God has a zeal for you and me, that he has a jealousy for you and me? Now, Oprah, she, I don't know why I'm bringing Oprah up on this show or on this podcast, but Oprah had a real problem with God being jealous. She could not get past the fact that God is a jealous God, the word says. Let me just explain it this way. I am jealous for my kids because I know that no one can love them like I can. If somebody else were to try to take my kids, they would face my wrath. Because I know that nobody else is going to treat them as well as I am, that nobody else is going to instill in them the values that I will. No one is going to love them with the love that I have for them. God is the same, but infinite times greater, because God is love. So God knows that if you and I go after false gods, if we seek after our own worldly lusts, instead of seeking after him, if we go after things that are temporal, God knows that that is not nearly as good as following after him. And that is what draws me to him, because he is jealous for me. There is a zeal that he has for us. There's a zeal that he has for his word. We saw that when Jesus went into the temple and started flipping over tables. It's even quoted in there, "The zeal for my father's house consumes me." Jesus knew that faith had been corrupted. That just like in the garden, when Adam and Eve had sinned, they tried to cover their sin with fig leaves. They had tried to regain access to God by their works. And they had corrupted faith. And God took and he showed them what had to be done. He killed an animal, obviously, because he had to cover them with an animal skin. Doesn't say what animal or where it came from, but God covered them with the skin of an animal, just like God covers our sins today with the blood of Christ. So yeah, there is a zeal that the Father has for us. There's a zeal that Jesus has for us, so much so that he went to the cross for you and me. So, I mean, that's really the story of Christmas. It's the birth of Christ, this incredible, incredible God come down in human flesh, loved us so much that he knew there was no other way to redeem us than to do it himself. And he did it. He did it. And I hope that you'll get into the story of Christmas, not the story, but the history of the birth of Christ, and really get into it and look and see how good God is to us, that he would give his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life, right? So thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me in the tack room. If you're wondering, yeah, these walls are going to get covered up. I'm going to get some insulation in here because I am cold. And if you're watching this, you know what I'm talking about. We're going to get this place all set up. It's going to be great. And we'll see you here probably on the norm. And in the meantime, hey, God bless. Enjoy your Christmas. I know that in the past we have talked about a lot of the the tragedy that happens around this season. I think the devil really likes to try and take away from what God has done for us. And he really tries to ruin this time of year for us when we celebrate the birth of our Savior. But I also believe that God can use that to say, hey, Christmas has never been about passing each other gifts. It's never been about finding the perfect tree. It's never been about Christmas music. It's been about my son. God would say, it's been about my son. Return to him. If you're one that's hurting today, God bless you. God be with you. The word says that blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Matthew chapter 5. So come to the Lord and receive comfort if that's you. And if not, hey, continue to enjoy this season. Lord, I ask that you would be with the listener, guide them through this season, and give them the opportunity to pause and to thank you and to be grateful for what you have done for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Amen. All right. God bless. We'll see you next time.